Yo, yo, what's up, guys? This week's episode is with Eric Yang. He's one of my new favorite people after this interview and also after I met him in Bangkok. Eric puts together virtual summits and does consulting for people who want to do their own. What is a virtual summit? That's a good question. Think of it like an industry conference where he gathers attendees, speakers, and sponsors, except his are all online. Through these virtual summits, Eric has generated over $350,000 US dollars. That's a lot of money. And 40,000 virtual summit attendees without spending a dollar out of his own pocket. Eric has put together virtual summits in industries like real estate, cryptocurrencies, design, and much more. He's a go-to guy if you're interested in doing something like this in your industry. And as you'll soon find out, they are very profitable and help build your influence and credibility in your industry. You can find out more about his virtual summit agency and services at ericzyang.com. That's his personal website. If you're a young dude who wants to be an entrepreneur that doesn't know where to start, you have to listen to this one. There's so much gold in here if you follow what Eric did while he was a student. The week after our interview together, we met up in Bangkok at an entrepreneurship conference I like to attend yearly. He was coincidentally one of the speakers where he gave a talk about his virtual summit strategy. That's how I know that this dude is legit. I think my big takeaway from our interview is don't be afraid of asking. You never know what the answer might be. Sounds obvious, I know, but obvious things need to be hammered into our heads once in a while for you to really take it in. In this episode, we go through how Eric's business failures led him to doing virtual summits, how Eric got thousands of dollars worth of conference tickets for free, why Eric decided to drop out of college, the exact strategies Eric used to get huge names to talk at his summits, including his word-for-word script, Eric's hack for building influence, some of the things that Eric thinks are the next big thing. And before we start, if you're enjoying the show, please share and subscribe. If you're really enjoying it and you want to help me out, please write a 5-star review. That'd be so, so great. That helps other people find the show and helps me get other great guests to come on the show as well. And lastly, I have my Facebook group, Badass Asian Dudes. Just go on Facebook, search Badass Asian Dudes. If you want to network with other Asian dudes that are hustling on their path into self-development, that's the place for you. Go ahead and apply to join. Thanks again, and let's get on with the show. Eric, what's up, dude? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I love this freaking mic, man.
Bro, what's going on, dude? So you're in Bangkok right now?
Yeah, what about you?
Cool, man. I'm in Seoul, but I'm originally from Los Angeles. How about you? Where are you from?
I'm from Paris.
Oh, shoot. Okay. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I literally came out of my mother's womb in Paris, so I didn't choose like where my location was. Yeah, born and raised in Paris for 18 years before I moved to the US for college.
Okay.
And went to California for a little bit for school for 2 years, then I dropped out after 2 years.
Okay, so Paris, you go to California, and then in your Facebook post, you said that like ever since like you were like 18, you wanted to start a business. So I guess like since like a very young age, you always wanted to be an entrepreneur. What is your next step after that? I feel like that's what a lot of young people think. They always want to be an entrepreneur when they're very young, but they don't know what to do. So like for you, like what did you do?
I guess like, I don't know you, man, but for me, like once a kid, like I was selling stuff to my friends already. Like I would go to China every summer. And I will buy those like toys or video games or like, well, back then it was like Game Boys, right?
Yeah.
And I think games back in Paris were like 40 euros or whatever the currency was back then for the euros. I was like the equivalent or something, but I was like buying the games for like 2 or 3% of the price in China. And I would just like sell it to my friends for like 30-40% like discount to what the retail price would be in France. And that's how I make money. And after that, like iPhones came out and I was like selling iPhone chargers to my friends and same principles. And it was like making so much money. It was like, dude, that's not even real. But I never spent that money. Yeah.
How old were you when you were doing that?
Yeah, I was like, what, 8, 9, 10 years old?
8, 9, 10. Holy shit. That's crazy, yeah. Dude. That is crazy.
When did you start a podcast, brother?
I started it maybe like
three months ago.
So it's been like super fresh.
Super, super fresh, man. Mm. It's getting a good, I think I can build this. Like if I do this long term, like very consistent, I think this can be really good. It's been awesome.
Mostly Asians, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I was telling my friends, and I think you probably feel that way too. It's like, there's no like role models in the business world that are Asians, yeah, men, especially like Asian men or Asian women in general. Like who I look up to a couple years ago was like Gary Vee, but this guy is like 45 years old. He's not even American. He's like from Belarus, right? And he's like the guy that I look up to the most. And I'm like thinking like, who's the most like quote unquote influential Asian entrepreneur that I know of? And I was thinking like, there's like none. And if someone that is influential, but I don't like him, is like Dan Lok or Peng Jun.
Oh yeah, yeah, and, yeah.
And I'm like, who else is out there? It's like nobody, man.
Yeah.
Do you look up to any Asian entrepreneur like that are quote unquote influential?
You know who Charles Ngo is? Affiliate marketing? Charles Ngo. I think I looked up to him like a little bit. He's really big in affiliate marketing.
Okay.
NGO is how you spell his last name.
Okay. NGO. But is he like, quote unquote, famous or?
He's big in the affiliate marketing world.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, I've seen his face around.
Yeah.
Cool.
Who else is there? I don't know. I think there's like a bunch of like YouTubers, but yeah. not anyone like, that I think is serious in the business world.
Yeah. Like Wang Fu is like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Wang exactly.
Influential. What's it called? Like Ryan Higa is kind of influential, but they don't talk about business per se.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you're going for?
I don't think the podcast goal was to become someone like that, like be an influencer. Like it was just kind of like pass on the stories or like the advice of like other entrepreneurs to like younger Asian dudes. You know, so it wasn't for me to like be in the spotlight. Actually, now that I think about it, like it wasn't for me to be the spotlight, to be like the Gary Vee or anything like that. It was just more like be a platform for other people who have done like cool things and like pass on their stories.
Do you have any aspirations to be someone like Gary Vee or no at all?
I don't know. I feel like that's like a lot of pressure, or like that's like a lot of like spotlight. For sure. You know, that's a lot of spotlight. I don't know. I don't think I have those kind of aspirations actually. How about you?
I don't, but I know it's needed.
Yeah.
Like if not me, I would love to help someone to be that person. If that person has the qualities to become someone like that for our community. Which is why, first of all, I love what you do, why I wanted to connect with you, and why I'm quote unquote actively looking for like Asian entrepreneurs now that are young, so that we can build this tribe and support each other. And it's not like washy-washy like let's build a business. I'm like, no, like people who are actually seriously playing already that want to promote and talk to that demographic like actively.
Yeah,
because it's one thing to, you know, be a business coach, but that's your only business. Then have an actual successful agency or business, and then on top of that, talk about the journey that got you here while you're like 25-ish, not like 40, 56 years old. Because a lot of the speakers that the reason why I moved from LA to Asia is because I wanted to talk to more people at those conferences. And when I speak at those conferences, I'm like always the youngest one by at least like 5 to 10 years. And most of the stuff that people put out there is not even good. And I'm thinking that those people pay $2,000 to $3,000 to be in a room from people that I suspect are not even like doing what they're teaching. That just makes me feel like really, really uncomfortable for those people because a lot of people haven't put themselves out there so they can be found by the people that need to be guided.
Hmm.
Like I told you before, like I don't have any aspirations to be like Gary Vee, but this is like why I said it's needed, because those people are looking for solutions. And because we don't put ourselves out there, then other quote unquote scammers do, and then they buy this shitty stuff.
Yeah. So I think that this podcast and like the community that I'm building is like that platform to like find those like people, like get their stories and then pass that on.
Yeah. I can see that really clearly for you, man. Which is a while, like asking like a little bit, like, where do you want to take this? And that was like a way for me to even think of how I could continuously support you in that journey. So what made you move from LA to Korea?
I was doing the whole digital nomad thing. So I was all over South America, you know, like Colombia, Argentina, all over Europe, and then like all over Asia. And then, I don't know. Have you done the nomad thing? It gets kind of tiring.
Yeah, man. I took a gap year between high school and college and actually read the book, The 4-Hour Work Week, when I was like 17. And and the reason why I took a gap year is because of Tim Ferriss. And the reason why I went to Argentina is because of Tim Ferriss. And the reason why I took tango classes is because of Tim Ferriss.
Bro, me too, dude.
Oh,
me
yeah, too. You did?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Like that's like only reason why I went to Buenos Aires, because Tim Ferriss was there when he first took his journey. And I was like, if this guy went to there, this place, I want to go there to see what was up with that. So after 2 years of doing this digital nomad thing, I'm like, dude, I'm tired. It's like why I'm based in Bangkok now. Like I needed to have a house, I need to have my routine. I wanted to have my workouts. I wanted to have my school friends, and I want to be able to travel a little bit, but I want to have a home base. And I think that's something you can relate to, man.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely something I understand. The whole digital nomad thing gets really tiring. Okay, so Paris, you were in Paris. And then why did you decide to leave? Why'd you come to the USA?
Yeah, I mean, Paris is a great city, but it's just not entrepreneurial. I've seen you being in Paris. I would love to hear your thoughts after that. It's just for me, it was like, it's home. It's cozy. It's comfortable. But it wasn't like pushing me to become a better person. Like personal development wasn't a thing over there. Being an entrepreneur is not a thing over there. You get taxed like 45% if you make above like 200K. So it's not like supporting you to become successful. And I don't know how it is in Korea. And I know it's not the case at all in the US. But in France, if you're wealthy, people think like, did you either scam it or did you inherit from your parents? There's no like, I'm in awe because you made money. It's like, where did it come from, man? It's not cool. Now you gotta pay taxes. Like everyone's poor, it should become more like us. So this mentality is something that I tried to escape from. And I came to the US, specifically like in California, where I wanted to be well surrounded by people who were not successful per se, but at least have the growth mindset of aspiring to be successful while being a really genuine good person. I think that's as important for me, if not more, to be just a good person that has good values. And that's what I'm trying to do, like come to a new country, no network, no nothing, and try to build and surround myself with a group of friends that are like-minded. And after 2 years of going to college, like I was able to build a community. And that's when I hosted my first in-person conference in LA back in 2016. And that was my first like six-figure business. I had like 120 people on a conference. And that was like just realizing that I don't need to go to school to be successful. And if I'm well surrounded, that's coming to be like the most important thing that will make me successful, because you know the phrase, like you're the average of five people you spend the most time with, right? And I try to build a business around creating communities, because I don't have any experience with business. I know how to sell things from China, but I don't have any like marketing skill. I don't have any photography skill. I was just a guy that was lost who didn't want to become a quote unquote life coach or teach people business when I never had a business myself. So the only thing I could do is connect with people, like jump on Zoom calls like this. Like for 2 years in college, I would jump on like at least 15 calls in a week that for like 30 minutes or an hour with entrepreneurs that were open to discuss with me so I can pick the brands on business and connect them with the right people. And I went to over like 70 plus events in 2 years while I was in college. And I was never at my apartment during the weekends because I was always busy going to workshops, seminars, and conferences. And I was just there sitting to absorb everything I could so that I can have this mindset of when I could have a business idea, I can move forward. And then business idea was just creating community and creating conferences. And after creating the conference, I was like, this is great. Like I met a lot of people, right? I wanted to speak and there's no better way to speak than host your own stage, which you're kind of doing with this podcast, which is really smart. But then I realized that, dude, having a physical conference is the most unscalable business ever. Because I pay like $15K for the venue alone. And I pay $15K to rent a venue. And the second the event is over, I don't own any of the assets. And that was like the part that frustrated me the most. So it's like, I can't have a brand. I can't have the, I don't even have the speakers because I invite them, but I don't really have the recordings per se. Because the conference is in person, so there's no way for me to keep in touch with people who didn't come. So I feel like if there was a way for me to have an online conference where I could like host one while traveling and being a nomad, that's like when I was a nomad for a little bit, like that would be ideal. And this is like when I hosted my first virtual conference for entrepreneurs under 30 who are making above six figures. And I had like, I think I had like 15 or 10 times more attendees and I made 10 times more profit than my in-person conference with a fraction of the time invested. And it was like, dude, I think I'm getting on something. And yeah. It's funny because three of the speakers and two of the attendees eventually become my agency clients like a year or two later. So I invested like $700 to produce my virtual summit, but I ended up like, having like 90K in profit from it. That was like kind of insane. And I kept doing it with other influencers and leaders in different spaces like Airbnb and crypto and real estate and drop shipping and designpreneurs and all of that. And it was only like early this year that I finally hired my first person, like my first like full-time person. And I have a team of seven people where we're just like, produce like virtual summit for people that want to systematically build their authority, their revenue, and email list through virtual summits. So it's been really fulfilling for me to help leaders that want to step into that space, which is more like, how can I become a voice for the people that don't have one?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think that the virtual summit thing is just like so smart. Like after hearing about the virtual summits, like I passed it on to other people who are in different industries. And I was like, dude, like you should do a virtual summit. Like the way that you describe it, like on your website and stuff like that, like building authority and just like being able to like get speakers and like do all that. Like, I think it would be great for every single industry out there. It's pretty nuts, dude.
It's nuts because first of all, we never pay for any of our speakers. You have no speaking fee because it's like a podcast. You don't pay to be on someone's podcast. In some way, you don't pay to have someone on national television. Like people do it out of like good faith. It's like, yeah, I mean, let me be on Forbes. But if you get invited by Forbes, you're not going to be like, how much are you going to pay me? No, it's free. And people are like, I have a speaking fee. You'd be like, I don't have a speaking budget. So we're going to have someone else. And it's crazy because on the Realtor Summit, man, we had the CEO of Century 21 on our conference and we called, reached out to him and he said, yes, I would love to do that because
that's insane.
For someone to speak for 30 minutes from his office, he could be in his sweatpants. Nobody would know because he only do like upper body, right? For him to do that, 30 minutes of his time to talk with 7,000 plus real estate people, that's an insane ROI for him. And that's an insane ROI for us to get him for free. And all of that because you build a platform that allows you to do that. And a podcast is great, but a virtual summit has like higher perceived value for both the speaker and attendees. And you can grab the people's email list. Even if they don't attend the conference per se, even though it's free, you can still sell to them in perpetuity as long as they remain in your email list.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's go back to like when you were in college, and then you said you were doing like so much like networking, going to like all different kinds of meetups. For like the people who are like just in college or like want to get that same start, like what were some places where you would go? Like, were you on like meetup.com or like on Facebook groups? What were you doing?
Yeah, first of all, like Meetup is great, but I would not recommend to a lot of people because the quality of people that I met on Meetup is not like really high. Like depends on which Meetup you go to, but that's what I learned, like to go into like 10 plus Meetups. You get what you pay for, right? If a Meetup is like $5, $10, then you're going to have like $5, $10 kind of like people on it. I would try to go to conferences that cost like thousands of dollars and actually have a strategy to get it for free. And this is like how I've trained myself to be resourceful. And the first thing I would do is, first of all, like I would check out like conferences from the people that I would follow, like Gary Vee or Grant Cardone, to see like, or like people like that. I don't really follow Grant Cardone, but an example here is like, I see Gary Vee speaking at a conference, or I see like Johnny Dumas speaking at a conference in San Diego. And I would like check like the conference. I would see the ticket price, like $500, $1,000, $2,000 for like a 1 day or 2 day event. I was like, no way I can afford that. So let me find someone's, the host's email. I would go on LinkedIn. I would like download those like plugins so I can find someone's personal email. I would reach out to them. I was like, hey, my name is Eric Yang. I love what you're doing. I see you have a conference. Do you offer any scholarship for your entrepreneurs? 25% of the time, they'll say, we don't have a scholarship, but we'll give you one. And I saved like thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars from that. So that was one strategy. The second one is, I asked them, do you have a scholarship? They said, no. You can buy a ticket. I was like, cool. Do you offer any discount for students? 50% of the time, you say, we don't have one, or we have one. Here's 50% off. So I would do that. So I would say 50%. And then third thing is, no, we don't have any discount. You can buy a ticket here. I was like, cool. Do you need any volunteers? Say yes. And I will volunteer for a conference. And we were like, I will try really, really hard to be the guy in the room, working in the room so I can listen to the people. And I will ask, like, if I can work 2 days out of 3 days, can I have the last day for free where I can like network with people? And 80% of the time they will say yes. And that's how I literally saved like 50 to 60K US dollars from ticket price on conferences. And I was invited to be part of some big-ass masterminds and retreats for entrepreneurs, and it was invited for free. All of that because I asked, and also because I leveraged the fact that I was young. And that was like one of the biggest like learning lessons like for me. It's like leverage the fact that you are young so that people will either like see you as this like naive guy or as a guy that's good to invest in. Because he might not be there yet, but they know that he will do something in the future. So now they're like emotionally investing in your success. And this is how I attracted a lot of great people in my life.
Holy shit, dude. That is freaking gold. That is really freaking good, man. Where did you learn that, dude? Where did you learn this kind of like attitude of just like asking for things? Like, I feel like a lot of people are very scared. You know, they're scared of the word no. But yeah. Where did you get that?
You know, Ramit Sethi?
Yes. I will teach you how to be rich. Yeah.
One of his chapters in his book is literally ask for a discount at Starbucks. Like, straight up, you go to Starbucks, and it's like, hi, I would like to have a latte or whatever. And you'd be like, hey, can you give me a 20% discount? And they're like, what do you mean? Can I give a 20% discount? And it's like, let me talk to my manager. And maybe like 7 out of 10 times they say, no, we don't do that. And we know like they have an employee discount or friend discount. It's like, can you give me a friend discount? And they were like, sure. It's like 3 out of 10 times. I was like, fuck, that works. Let me try for all the other stuff, right? And I would like go to like networking events. And the first biggest success I had is literally 3 days after like I first had my first like Starbucks ask is there was like a training by Dale Carnegie, right? Like they host like workshops around the country. And those things like cost like $4 for 4K a pop for like a 3 day seminar. And this time I didn't even ask for a discount. I literally asked like, hey man, can I attend this workshop for free? And they're like, what do you mean? Yeah. Do you offer a scholarship for young entrepreneurs? And the guy was like, you know what, man? We actually don't have enough people. So if you can bring a friend for free, like I'll give it for free. And I was like, cool, I'll see you tomorrow. And I brought my friend and we got like $8,000 of training for free. And I was like, dude, this fucking thing works. I know. And I keep using it. And I was like, it works not all the time, but it works really well.
Yeah. I've actually done the Starbucks discount before. You know, I haven't heard it from Ramit, but are you familiar with Noah Kagan?
Yeah.
Noah Kagan of AppSumo. So there was like a blog, maybe Ramit, I think Ramit and Noah, they know each other. So the Starbucks discount, I did. And then, you know, right before you do it, you do feel like kind of like nervous. Like I felt like a couple like butterflies because it's not normal, you know? And like Noah Kagan like talks about how when you're doing business, you need to be okay with asking for money, asking for the sale, you know? And a lot of people are like very scared to do it. But I think that that really does like train you to like, to even if you feel like a little nervous or like ask it, like you don't want to like ask for it, like just train yourself to do it and you'll be surprised by the results that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's like asking a girl out, man. The more you practice, the better you get at it.
And, exactly.
I'm not going to say worse, but when asking for money, it's like almost asking for self-worth. Like, am I worthy to ask for that? So it might get a bit challenging at first, but for me, like the reason why I did it is because I had no choice. Like, I don't want to pay $2,000 for tickets. Like, I don't have that money, man. Like, what can I do to get this for free? And that's like when you are resourceful, it's because you don't have the resources. So for you to have those resources, it needs to be resourceful.
Yeah.
So that was like my biggest lesson. And I keep applying it. Like, this is like what I teach my clients as well, man. Like, dude, like, how can I get a CEO of Century 21? Or how can I get the CEO of a crypto company that is worth billions of dollars? Just ask. You never know. And the key is like asking the right way and asking the right person. Because you never want to ask the gatekeeper. You always want to ask the decision maker, right? If I ask the assistant or the quote unquote like event manager, they might not give it to me because they need to report to someone else and they want to ask that person. But if you just ask the CEO, the top of the person, like it doesn't cost him anything to say yes. And that'll be like so much easier.
Got it. So what are your tips to get to the decision maker, the big CEOs, the big guys? How do you get to them?
Literally, I go on LinkedIn because every LinkedIn profile is connected to someone's personal email, like in 90% of the time. And you have a lot of tools. Like I use snuv.io, which is like a plugin that is free, where you can actually extract someone's personal email from LinkedIn. I'm not asking you to contact them through LinkedIn. I'm asking you to find their LinkedIn email so you can show them an email on Gmail, right? And then you'll find a personal email, not the one they have on the website. And most of the time, it's just a different one. And I will just like make a video, which is like more personalized. And there's some tools such as BombBomb, which is a great plugin, man. It's kind of expensive. It's like $250 a year, if not a little bit more of that. But it allows the people to play the video directly from the email without being redirected. So they don't even have to like leave it. So that adds this personal touch. And then you want to make it short. You want to make it what's in for them sometimes. But you also want to introduce yourself and like how this person has affected your life. As a compliment, it's like, hey, my name is Eric Yang. I found you on Gary Vee's podcast and actually used one of your advice. It actually gave me this result. And the reason why I'm reaching out to you is because whatever you ask is, I'm hosting a podcast. I'm hosting a summit. And I would love to ask you more questions about that. It's 20 minutes. You want to give them a time frame. Are you open to do it? And hit me up with a yes, which is an easy call to action. And I will follow up in a couple of days because I know you're a busy guy. Regardless, wishing you an amazing day. Looking forward to hearing from you soon. Really simple. There's no book to read here. It's 3-4 simple paragraphs or 3-4 sentences. And most of the time, they will get back to you with either like an answer. And if you don't, you can follow up to 5 times. And the great thing about BombBomb, man, it has to track you on when and if they open an email. So you know exactly when to follow up. Mm.
Bro, that is really, really good. That's such a great template to follow.
Yeah. I mean, if someone comes to you, Chris, they find your personal email. I don't know how they find it, but they find your email. It's like, hey, Chris, you know, I found your podcast. And this, I actually used one of your advice. It actually changed my life. Like, I actually started my own podcast because that's so what you're doing and what you do for the Asian community. And I wanted to do that more and help and be in that journey with you. Actually, I'm hosting a podcast myself. Would you like to be a guest? Like, now you're like, emotionally invest in this guy. There's no way you can say no to this guy.
No, like, seriously. Yeah. Damn. That's crazy. I think that's amazing advice, dude. That's so cool to reach like anyone that you want. So like Century, CEO of Century 21, and like who else like have you reached out to, like the big guys that have said yes to you?
Since you know crypto, we had a CEO of Neo say yes to us to be in an interview. He couldn't speak English really well, so we had his right-hand man who was speaking on our summit. We had, so on my first summit, I had Nathan Chen from Founder Magazine who said yes. I had Jordan Harbinger from the Art of Charm podcast who said yes. I had like other like big dogs in the industry, like Nikola Kuzmich who run ads for Tony Robbins. And that was like my first realization, man. Like, people don't know me, but they all know those people. And just the fact that I host this platform through osmosis, like everyone quote unquote trusted me, even though I didn't have a business. Yeah, and I was like, dude, like that's such like a life hack. Like if, and something I tell my friends, like if you can become, okay, here's a story, man. So I'm sure like a lot of people who listen to this, if they listen to this, they were like, they know in college or in life in general, there are a lot of people who are really, really cool. Like everyone wants to be around them, right? Like both guys and girls. But what's underrated is, first of all, like everyone, a lot of people love to party and they have to go to places, right? A lot of people like to host parties, but they love going to parties. But most of the people who host parties, they're not like always like super, super cool. But because they host the parties, everyone likes them. And if they know how to host a good party, the cool people will come to them. The famous people will come to them. And then they become a hub. And because of that, through osmosis, the guy who wasn't anyone before becomes super cool. I mean, they built a whole movie around that, like Project X, where like three people who weren't really cool, they wanted to be someone and host the party of the century. And after the end of the movie, like even though this house was destroyed, they were like applauded and super, super popular. And the same principle applies to business. Like if you're a nobody right now, you have no connections, you don't know how to build authority or how to build connections, just build a space. Like build a party for your industry and invite the people to come to you. The hardest thing is getting the first person to say yes, but after that, you can leverage that first person to get anyone else. And that's what I share as a principle when we host this virtual summit. This is what is applicable to you if you host a podcast or in-person conference. That platforms allows you to connect with everyone and get the social capital and social trust from all these famous people that spent decades building on it that you can get in a matter of hours. And that's like one of the biggest power that I realized that a lot of people should leverage, which is like highly, highly, highly practical for people that don't know what they want to do yet, because they don't need to fake it. They're just literally the people who ask the questions and distribute information.
Yeah. And I think that's so genius, actually. Just, you know, looking at your site, you said that these virtual summits, they help you build authority. And just like looking at what you've done and like your strategy behind it, like it's so smart. Like it is building like a lot of like authority and credibility for yourself. And you are the one just hosting the space, like hosting the party.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's crazy, man. Okay, so how many of these virtual summits have you done? Or like what kind, how many like different industries have you been doing? How do you choose like what industries to do these virtual summits?
I've done 12, and each one of them is not necessarily because of money. Well, actually, I always pick a hot industry, but I always pick based on a topic I want you to learn, right? So the first one was millennial entrepreneurs, 30 under 30. I just want to connect with young entrepreneurs who are doing epic things. Because if you're young and you're like Forbes 30 under 30, you didn't start at 29. You start like 18. And I want to connect with people before they become big so that I can have my eye on it and have this connection. So that was my intention. And I made a lot of money from it, but that wasn't the goal. The second one is Airbnb was really hot back in 2017. And I want to learn the business model of how to build a business around Airbnb. So we hosted the first Airbnb online conference. And we had like 8,500 people on it. And the craziest part, man, is the fact that on this summit, all the expenses were covered by the sponsors. And what does that mean is that we got 8,500 attendees for free because the marketing budget was spent by someone else. It was given by someone else. And the craziest part, man, is before the summit even started, we were like hyper profitable because we didn't have any expenses. But also like, because you build a platform that needs to look premium, but if you build a platform that is really attractive to people, that will invest in the future. And I didn't have any email lists. I have no idea how to build an Airbnb platform. I never had an Airbnb business, but I was able to get the people who were experts. So the sponsor invested in me because of the people I got, despite the fact that I didn't have any email list. So that worked out really well for me. And after that Airbnb phase, crypto was really hot. And that was back in 2017 when crypto was like 8K, it was like 5K when I started. It went up to 14K. And that was like right before it tipped to go down, right? And we had 6,000 people. And the shittiest part is like 2 days after we started running our ads, that's when Google and Facebook decided to say, nope, crypto ads, not approved anymore.
I remember that, yeah.
I remember that was super well, man. Our ads were like currently like crazy. Like for every dollar invested, we got like $7 back, which was insane for like an untested ad. And after that, I did like real estate. I did designers. We did drop shipping. We did, what else we did? We did on influencers. So how do I pick a topic, right? That was a question. It's basically what I want to learn, but also like what I see being really hot. For example, the things I have an eye on right now is one, esports. Like how do you get paid to play video games is really interesting for me. First of all, because brands, they want to leverage esports. And if you can build email lists around that demographic, then you'll be golden in the future. But I also think it's really, really smart for people to learn entrepreneurial skills around something that they would do anyway, especially for kids. Like, kids, why wouldn't you want to get paid to do something you would have done anyway? And let me sprinkle some business principles in you while you do that. So that would be really interesting for me. Another one would be Bud Messenger. I think it's not going anywhere. So that'd be interesting for me. And PR, like how to get PR for free, that would be interesting for me. Like all of the topics I have in mind. And if I can meet someone who has an agency or community around that space, I'll reach out to them and then we'll end up working together.
Oh, I love it, dude. I love all this like strategic like thinking. Like ever since like you're very young, you know, like you're very strategic about what you want us to do. That I think that is like quite amazing, dude.
Yeah, thank you, man. And it's all about starting out, man. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of lessons along the way. And, you know, like something I've done recently that's been really, really helpful for me is hiring a therapist. Hmm. Like this, I have an online therapist that I talk to every week. And just having someone I can channel my thoughts out to every single week, someone I pay to listen to me rant about something for a little bit before I come to like, cool, what am I going to do with it, has been really helpful.
Interesting. Is this like online or do you meet this therapist like in person?
No, it's online. It's a licensed therapist from the US. And every week I have a call with him and I actually write down like all the things that have been bothering me that I want to talk to someone about.
Yeah.
And I used to talk it with my friends, but one day I caught myself. It's like, yo, I'm talking to you not because I want to connect with you, but just because I want to rent out my issues. And this is like when I realized like, dude, like that's not what friends are for. Like, obviously they're here for you if you have issues, but if you always come to them selfishly, then that wasn't okay for me. Right. And I have mentors, but it wasn't so much about strategies. It was more about just like the situation itself that I wasn't happy with. And I know I can act on it, but I just needed to get out of my head. So having someone that you pay for to listen to your issues has been really helpful for me, man.
For sure. You know, so as you're talking about that, I think that something that I do is journal. So like every morning I journal, and then at night I journal. And then like a lot of the things that like I'm thinking about that I do want to get out of my head, it's I think the like nighttime journal is like something that like really helps me with that. And then also meditation. Like, are you into meditation?
Yeah. I do it before I go to bed, and I just love it. I'm not consistent with it, but when I do it, I do feel my mental health being so much better. I'm curious to know, man, what journal do you use, or just like on any paper?
I used to use like a paper, but then I just bought the iPad. And then so now like I want to like digitize it. So like maybe like 10 years later, like I can like look back and see like my notes. So I don't know. I just got it. So
Okay.
We'll see how it goes. But normally I do like pen and paper.
Got it. Do you have like a question that you go by every day, or is it like just literally just write it down?
Right, whatever comes to mind, whatever like I'm thinking about, whatever bothers me, whatever successes I've had, or just anything I don't like, that kind of thing.
Interesting, man. Huh. Yeah, I have this a journal called the 5-minute journal, which is a
I used to use the 5-minute journal. So you do that every morning?
I would lie if I say I would do it every morning, but I try to do it every morning.
I think the gratitude thing is like, it really changes your thinking, actually.
Yeah.
I'm huge into the gratitude thing.
Are you a big Vine Holiday fan by any chance?
Yeah. I've read all his books. I haven't read his new one. Stillness is the Key.
Yeah. He seems the kind of guy who enjoyed that a lot. And actually, I love him a lot. That's why like I bring it up.
Yeah. And then I really like reading his Daily Stoic every day.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is going back to business. I came back from New York, right? Like where Gary Vee was speaking. And Ryan Dice is the host of this conference called Digital Agency Expo. And he's also like the founder of one of the biggest like digital marketing conference in North America.
Oh, yeah. Called Traffic and Conversion.
Right. And he was like telling the people like the next big thing in internet marketing, right? Or digital marketing. It was or is email newsletters. Like daily email newsletters. And he told everyone like, yeah, in a day where people are bombarded by ads on Facebook, on social media, they actually look forward to a form of communication that's one way, that's reliable, that's consistent, that has a lot of value. And Ryan Holiday is like an example of that success, right? Where almost every week he has this newsletter. And we are both Tim Ferriss fan. Like the one call to action from Tim Ferriss is literally subscribe to my newsletter. That's the only thing that he asked for. And that's from a guy who asked us to optimize our email inbox. And he and his call to action is like, yeah, but have mine though. Right?
Yeah.
And it's just being really interesting to see this like shift of perspective of cool. Even Gary Vee, man, subscribe to my list and subscribe to my text messaging service.
Oh yeah, that's he has been pushing that lately. Yeah.
So newsletters and text is the next new thing for digital marketers. And it's all about creation of community and creating trust and have a reliable source of traffic that is 100% going to happen if you subscribe to something.
Yeah.
So that's been really interesting for me to explore and to just like strategize on how, first of all, I can use that in my business, but also like sharing out loud like what other people are preaching. And I've been observing a lot of people having email lists and just being double down on that.
Yeah. Do you have your own email list?
I don't. I help my clients.
Bro, I think that people would love your email list, just like your thoughts, like what you're working on, like that kind of thing. Just, I think you got to start it.
Yeah.
I started mine. I started mine for this podcast. Did? Yeah, for
nice.
Sure. But you know what? I haven't been as consistent, but actually just like what you said, like the past like few minutes, I'm like, shit, like if these big guys like are saying that that is a future, then I need to be like way more consistent. I need to put way more time in it. I think that's true. Like as you were talking, I was thinking, bro, like I love those email newsletters I get like every Monday, or like Tim Ferriss has this every Friday. I was like, yeah, I actually really like those, you know, because they curate books, they curate articles, like they curate like movies or like whatever they're thinking. I'm like, dude, that's so true. Bro, you got to start like, yours, dude. You got to start.
Yeah. On that, let's talk about strategies, right?
Yeah.
What I love, man, is like practical things. When I was listening to people on stage, like every single time, it's like, this is so much theories. I feel like I'm going back to school. Like, give me the step-by-step action, right? And how to make it work. And I'm all about optimizing my time so I can like hack it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
What would be interesting, man, and the reason why I love Virtual Summit is because it's video podcast. So you can extract the audio into a podcast, right? And then you can ask the content creator to transcribe the audio into written post. And then this written post could be like micro post for things. So you have this one core content that can be dissected into like different platforms, which is like text, video, and audio. But what I love the most about email newsletter, and that's something I don't see a lot of people use it yet, but I just came up with right now, which is the same way that Ryan Hardy does with his 365 Day Stoics, is if you post a piece of content every day for a year, you can literally make that into a book.
Yeah, for sure. And then also Tim Ferriss does that, you know, with his podcast. And then he turned that into like Tribe of Mentors and like all that. It's so much content, you know, and then different kinds of mediums. It's genius. I think it's so smart. Also, Gary Vee is like really into that, like repurposing like his content to like YouTube, Instagram, like Snapchat, like so many different things, blogs.
It's content, man. Content's king. You gotta like surrender to it. And this is why I want to create my own podcast. Like, I want to build my email list. I want to create a YouTube show. I want to create my podcast. It's like the pillar of that is going to be video, obviously, for me. But like, I realized I needed to do a podcast. And I think that my biggest takeaway from this conversation, man, is newsletter. I got to do it, man. Like, that should be like my sole focus.
Yeah, you got to do it. Oh, shoot. That's good. That's a good note to end on, man. So, Eric, where can people find out more about you?
They can find me on my personal website, ericzn.com. I'm rebranding my website right now, so it's going to look ugly if you're watching right now. But you can also find my book on how to launch your own virtual summit on Amazon. It's literally the principles and system that I use in my agency that we charge like a lot of money for, but you can literally get it for $3. Maybe less or more, depends on tax, but you can get it for free. If you send me an email at eric@leadnextgen, so the lead, LEAD, nextgen.com, and I read every email, and looking forward to hearing from some of you guys.
Awesome, man. Eric, it's been awesome, dude. This has been really, really good. You got to get the email newsletter going, dude.
Oh, I think
people
would
love to hear that, seriously. And then you probably have like a huge email list, or like you probably have like a bunch of people where you can get some emails from. I think that would be really good. I'll sign up.
Yeah.
For sure.
Cool. Cool, all man. Right, well, thanks for having me.
Yo, yo. All right, guys. That was my interview with Eric. I hope you guys enjoyed that. There's so much gold in there. I definitely took away a lot of things that I'm going to apply in my life as well. So thanks again, guys. Please make sure to share and subscribe, and also leave a 5-star review. I would love you. Thank you so much again for listening, guys. And I'll see you guys next week.